From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, July 5th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with journalist Brian Dolinar about his investigation of Urbana's Civil Police Review Board and its effectiveness. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Former Illinois State Senator and Republican gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey is running for Congress. He announced he'll take on 12th Congressional District Republican incumbent Mike Bost from his family farm in Xenia last night. Bailey compared himself to former President Donald Trump and rallied against what he called a radical left agenda.
We find ourselves engulfed in a storm of woke nonsense. Woke nonsense that seeks to divide us.
Following Bailey's announcement, Bost's campaign released a statement calling Bailey's run, quote, selfish opportunism. Poll after poll has found that Americans are sharply divided on the issues facing the country and how best to solve them. Still, as Illinois Newsroom's Owen Henderson reports, many still came together yesterday to celebrate Independence Day.
Champaign-Urbana residents lined Lincoln Avenue to watch floats and classic cars in yesterday's 4th of July parade. Ernest Metzger now lives in Scotland, but he grew up in Urbana. This is his first 4th of July parade here since 1987. Metzger says that while many Americans have conflicted feelings about the state of the country, the 4th of July should be a time to set that aside and celebrate.
This is a really nice holiday for people to locate patriotism in the right place. You know, it is a patriotic holiday. It's divorced from all the bad stuff, or at least it ought to be, and it's just pure, you know, love of country.
After yesterday's parade, the evening ended with musical performances and the annual fireworks show near State Farm Center in Champaign. I'm Owen Henderson, Illinois Newsroom.
Last week's storm caused thousands of power outages throughout Illinois, causing many people to throw out spoiled food. Illinois Newsroom's May Antar explains how the state is helping low to no-income people recover their groceries.
For individuals receiving food stamps, the Illinois Department of Human Services is replacing the cost of food destroyed by the power outages. IDHS is giving people 10 days after the disaster to request for food replacement using Form 1989. Kylie McNew is a lifelong Danville resident who lost power for 4 days after last week's storm. She estimates a loss of nearly $350 worth of food.
We threw out pounds and pounds of just wonderful meat that could have just been used. Watching all that go in the garbage just made me sick to my stomach.
She says she will be grateful for any relief, even if it doesn't replace the full amount. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
It's been 1 year since the Highland Park mass shooting, which led to a tough new gun control law in Illinois. But state lawmakers have more bills in mind for future sessions. Mawa Iqbal reports.
State Representative Bob Morgan is leading House Democrats that have three focus areas: safe gun storage, unsolved murder cases, and domestic violence involving guns. Morgan, who was at the 4th of July parade last year, says they want to approach gun violence from all fronts.
Given the rash of mass shootings in Illinois, not just the Highland Park shooting, but then the East Garfield Park shooting and a variety of others, the need in the moment really had that urgency around it.
Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a bill banning most high-powered firearms like the one used by the Highland Park gunman. The law is in effect, but faces multiple legal challenges. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with journalist Brian Dolinar about his investigation of Urbana's Civil Police Review Board. That story coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, much of Illinois is in a severe drought. We'll talk about it with farmers and other experts. Plus, we'll look at last week's severe storms, which damaged property, took down untold number of trees, and left thousands without power. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. If a person believes they've been the subject of unfair police conduct, they have the option of making a complaint to a civilian police review board. But a story debuting today by journalist Brian Dolinar and the Invisible Institute, which investigates public institutions, shows it's unclear how much authority for change those boards hold. Dolinar recently talked with Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick about his investigation, starting with why he focused on Urbana police.
Well, the police review board in Urbana has long been a way for members of the public to approach accountability with the police. And so, you know, it's been on the books sometime since 2007. Urbana's had a police review board. And at different moments, most recently with the George Floyd protests, the public went back to the police review board demanding greater accountability. And so it's a mechanism in place in Urbana for citizens, residents to have some input about policing in the community.
So your report focuses on a particular officer in Urbana. Briefly, could you explain why?
Well, these two complaints came up. The Invisible Institute pulled these records, these public documents, and they drew some attention to Officer John Franquemont. In my collaboration with the Invisible Institute, they sent me the documents, and I went to try to locate the individuals, you know, the Invisible Institute based in Chicago, me based in Urbana-Champaign. I've been reporting on local police for almost 20 years. And so I was able to reach out and locate the two individuals who filed the complaints, which I often like to do to really go to the impacted people. And so I first located Tiana Morrow. She was one of the people abused by Officer Franquemont, who filed a complaint about an incident in her apartment in Urbana where she was shoved and pushed down and ended up with a lump on her head, was eventually arrested. I reached out to talk to Lakeisha Thaddison, and Lakeisha was also involved with Officer John Franquemont at a late night party. The police were called out, and she was eventually pushed around, shoved in the back of a squad car, again, ended up with a lump on her forehead. And so this is a project combining citizen data, public documents, and talking to local individuals to collect their experience.
What problems with UPD's use of force investigation system did you uncover in your reporting?
We found that every step of the way there was a real serious breakdown into really bringing accountability for the officer. It started off with the complaint by Lakeisha Thaddison, and that alerted police. There was a use of force committee that started to review documents related to Officer Franquemont. He was put on leave June of 2020, and the department launched an investigation. They eventually looked into 97 incidents, almost 200 hours of videotape, and they located five incidents and found a particular penchant of Officer Franquemont. A couple different incidents, he was taking individuals, handcuffing them with their hands behind their back and shoving them face first into the back of a squad car. And a couple of those individuals would rack their head on the car cross beam, or they would, in one case, hit their head on the seatbelt in the back seat, the seatbelt latch. And this is against proper protocol. The incidents were eventually some of the individual cases and collectively were sent. One case was sent to State's Attorney Julia Reitz, who signed off and did not press any charges. It was sent to the PTI Institute Director Michael Schlosser, who also reviewed Officer Franquemont and also signed off and okayed the investigation. And it proceeded through the internally then through Urbana Police. And eventually, it took over a year, but eventually Officer Franquemont was investigated, interrogated, interviewed, and continued to be unresponsive and unrepentant about what happened. And, you know, I think it is to the credit of the Urbana Police that they pursued this fully, and they did their best to investigate, and they did the right thing. They eventually terminated Officer Franquemont because you know, they gave him chances to be trained, to be retrained, and yet he continued to be unapologetic and defiant.
Urbana recently approved a new police union contract. How did that factor into this story?
Well, as I spoke to one of the people I interviewed was head of the police review board at the time of the George Floyd protests, Mikhail Lubansky, who was head of the police review board. And at the time of the protests in 2020, members of the public were coming and addressing the police review board, asking for reforms, asking to improve the process. And that initiated a number of reforms that have been presented and brought forth to Urbana City Council by the new chief of the police review board, Ricardo Diaz. And so there's a number of reforms that are being considered currently. But in the recent police union contract, it explicitly states that in a couple particular issues, that individuals on the police review board cannot be convicted of a felony, and that the review board has no subpoena power. And so these two issues have long been sticking points for the review board in Urbana. But there's other recommendations as well that have been put forward. So again, this is a chance for the public to really demand greater accountability of the police and a process to initiate that. The police union contract has stalled some of these advances, so it was debated in front of the city council. Eventually, the contract was signed off, but when it comes back around in 3 years, I think members of the public will be asking some of the same questions.
When you tried to speak with the city of Urbana or the police department, what was the response?
We could not initiate a conversation with the city of Urbana. They were unresponsive, although we tried several attempts and several ways to reach out to them. I think Urbana, you know, while there were breakdowns, I think they did the right thing in the end in terminating Officer Frank Lamont. And I think this speaks well of Urbana in its process of police review.
That was Illinois Public Media News Director Reginald Hardwick talking with journalist Ryan Dolinar about his investigation of Urbana's Civil Police Review Board and its effectiveness. You can read the story right now on IllinoisNewsroom.org, CU Citizen Access, and at the Invisible Institute. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with showers and thunderstorms likely this evening and a high of 90 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Owen Henderson, May Antar, Mawa Iqbal, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alleys Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.